From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Some residents of a Juneau neighborhood in the Mendenhall Valley are rattled after a Juneau police officer shot at a 65-year-old man and struck two trailer homes on Tuesday evening. Police say there was one injury. Someone inside a trailer got a minor cut from broken glass after a bullet went through a bedroom window. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports that the state and local authorities are investigating the shooting, which originated with a call about the man threatening to harm himself.
Maggie Watson was at home on Tuesday night when she heard several men outside her window yelling a man's name over and over again.
I was just glued to the window.
She says she didn't hear the men identify themselves, though she has some difficulty hearing. She says it sounded like they were trying to convince someone to come outside. She couldn't see who from her window.
And one officer made it to the snow berm.
From her home in Kozloff Acres near the Mendenhall Glacier, she points out a snow berm across a street, a few doors down where investigators later marked a few spots with bright orange paint.
And took out his long gun and pow, 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 pow. And I knew exactly what that sound was. And I remember just, I mean, my jaw dropped. What the f*** just happened?
More police officers showed up, working the scene for hours. She didn't get many answers that night. On Wednesday evening, the Juneau Police Department held a press conference and put out a written account of the incident. Police said they reached the 65-year-old man on the phone before arriving on the scene, and he said he was going to hurt himself, and he had a gun. When they arrived, police said they announced themselves and, quote, started a dialogue with the 65-year-old man. In a written account, they said that during this brief exchange, quote, one or more of the officers believed the subject was pointing a gun at them, end quote, which led to an officer shooting his gun. Police Chief Ed Mercer described what happened just before the officer fired his gun a little differently.
When officers attempted to contact him outside his residence, one of the officers received a threat.
After the shooting, the written account from police said the 65-year-old man, quote, went to the ground. They checked him for injuries and handcuffed him and took him to the hospital for evaluation. Mercer said police recovered a gun, but would not say who it belonged to. Mercer cautioned that the investigation is ongoing and that information was emerging as he spoke. He said recordings from officers' body cameras will be part of the investigation. He said two officers with the Alaska Bureau of Investigations, that's part of the Alaska State Troopers, arrived in Juneau on Wednesday morning to investigate the shooting. Mercer said it's important that an independent party work the case.
We take these things seriously. We want another set of eyes to look at the case and provide input to us and special prosecutions, a conclusion on what is decided based on officers' actions.
Mercer said these investigations can take 3 to 6 months.
We'll try to get through this as fast as we can. We would like to see some closure on this, and at least be able to provide information to the public and continue to be transparent with what happened out here yesterday.
Mercer said the police officer who fired his gun was put on administrative leave. JPD refused to identify the officer by name, but Mercer said they would release it by the end of Thursday. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And if you're in a crisis, call the new National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Among Alaska's major cities, Juneau has kept up some of the most restrictive protective measures throughout the pandemic. Now it is relaxing those rules while it increases access to public health tools for residents. And as Claire Strumple reports for KTOO, that seems to be working.
The Juneau Public Health Center is kind of a one-stop shop for all the proven defenses against COVID-19.
Are you guys giving away N95 masks?
You can grab masks and test kits or walk into vaccine appointments, and it's all free.
You have test kits?
Yes, I do. Got two right here.
If a public health initiative is measured by how much the community uses it, this is doing well. The first day Juneau offered masks, about 300 people showed up and cleaned out the stock. Even on this average day, lots of people drop by for supplies. Gabriel Quinones and Jamie Campbell came by for masks because N95s got too pricey on the internet. They've loosened up on some of their restrictions.
We kind of go out a little bit more, but we're still practicing most of the social distancing and the precautions that we have taken since the COVID pandemic started.
Martin Bowles also came in for a pack of N95 masks. He says he hasn't expanded his bubble and still doesn't go out to eat, but he and his wife do shop and use the pool.
I don't think that I'm going to be in public places without a mask anytime soon. I want to see what's happening. I fear that states like Alaska may unmask too soon, so we'll see.
Juno has hewn closely to CDC pandemic guidelines, but this month, the state's pandemic poster child dropped mask mandates for vaccinated folks. And city officials say they're envisioning a day when they can relax regulations even further. The city is loosening restrictions at the same time it's increasing the availability of tools to fight the virus. Test kits and masks are available at locations all over town, not just the public health center, libraries, the police station, and at City Hall. Another shipment of 24,000 KN95s arrived this week.
I think adhering to these risk mitigation factors has really benefited our community.
Allison Gotchlick is the nurse manager for the Juno Public Health Center.
I think overall throughout this pandemic, we have been really fortunate to have typically lower case rates, lower hospitalizations, higher testing rates. And we have a really nice high vaccine rate locally as well.
So restrictions are easing, but that's after some aggressive precautions. Juno schools have masked since in-person classes resumed last year, and there's a nearly 80% vaccination rate. A recent study by the local regional hospital found Junoites were more than 60% less likely than other Alaskans to die from COVID-19, just because they live here. And people are still getting vaccinated.
We do still see people getting their first doses, yeah, which is wonderful. Makes us super, we get very excited when we have somebody coming in for a first dose.
Gotchlick estimates about 60 people a week come into the public health center for the jab, whether it's the first, second, or a booster. So if states that drop restrictions are letting the public fight the virus on its own, Juno's approach is to heavily arm the public first. And so far, it's working.
And I think that's just a case study in how much can change and how the nature of the virus can change.
Robert Barr is the deputy city manager, and he runs Juno's Emergency Operations Center. He says Omicron is a different variant than we've seen before, and at this point in the pandemic, that means a city with a very high case rate can still be only at a moderate risk for COVID-19. He would not have expected that 6 months ago.
I would have been shocked, right? I would have been like, how? There's no way. Like, we can't deal with numbers that are that high.
Some cities and states in the lower 48 have dropped restrictions. Barr said he thinks Juno's moving at a reasonable pace. But like Marlon Bowles at the Public Health Center, he's thinking about the consequences of dropping them too soon.
One of the things that keeps me up some nights is I'm hopeful that we're not prematurely leaving the water, I guess, to use that analogy. I don't think we are, but COVID has surprised us before.
It's been 3 weeks since the city ended mask requirements for vaccinated people. Local hospital operations are normal. Case counts continue to drop. In Juno, I'm Claire Strimple.
In more COVID news, COVID-19 cases numbers continue to decrease in Alaska. The state's Department of Health reported 2,900 cases over the last 7 days. That's a 36 drop compared to the previous week, which had 4,500 reported cases. Those numbers don't include positive at-home tests. State epidemiologist Dr. Louisa Castrodale says health officials are shifting from looking at case counts to broader trends.
Going forward, there will be less exact numbers for the case counts, but we're going to be looking for activity such as, you know, cases in schools and outbreaks, and then those overall trends with testing, and then talking to our hospital partners to see what they're seeing.
Hospitalizations also continue to decrease, though more slowly than case numbers. Officials shared additional information about vaccines at a public health presentation Wednesday. They also addressed some concerns about myocarditis and other heart problems following COVID vaccinations, especially in adolescent boys. The state epidemiologist, Dr. Joe McLaughlin, shared data that shows that COVID infections carry much greater risk for myocarditis, heart attacks, and pulmonary embolisms than other issues than vaccinations do. Pediatrician Dr. Michelle Nace says it's important for parents to understand the data behind those risks.
If the thing you are concerned about is the heart, and if you're worried about your child and what myocarditis might do, then the best protection would be to be vaccinated against getting COVID-19.
As of Wednesday, 36% of Alaskan adults were up to date on their COVID-19 vaccines, meaning they received their initial doses as well as any boosters they're eligible for. It's KTOO.